chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're Navy Blue, are you?
As we record this podcast, it's Mother's Day, but let the flowers be showered upon the bairns of Falkirk, because they remained undefeated against Aberdeen, 7 points out of nine. Come on! This is Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I am John McNally, joined as ever by the Ginger God of Pod himself, it's Ross Wayne.
Hello mate, yep, I am loving our record against Aberdeen this year. It seems last summer when you look at the Aberdeen fixtures, you think these are going to be the toughest of some of the toughest fixtures we've got. But 4 points from Pittodrie is outstanding.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's Mother's Day, Ross. Have you remembered? Have you got something for your ma?
Oh yeah, all sorted there. Yeah, I saw her yesterday as well, and so all sorted there. Mrs. is sorted for the kids as well, so all good.
Oh, I have just now left it. My kids are at that age. It's like it's your ma. You've got to deal with it. So I was like, there you go, 30 quid. You go deal with it, because she's my wife. She's not my ma. I mean, I've got flowers in the car, taking my mother out for lunch. I couldn't get a space behind the wall, but Big Brian Flynn just messaged me saying, you should not be taking your mum anywhere else but behind the wall. Let me sort this. I had to cheat with one of the other establishments in the town. I think I might be going to behind the wall now. We'll wait and find out. But Moz are all sorted, which is good. Yes, happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there. Hope you are all stars. Absolutely. These are all the best mums in the world. I don't know how that works. Everybody's the best mum in the world. It's like school. You just get everyone's best mum, but I'm sure your mum's the best. So there you go.
Everyone's mum's the best. It's like Arsies. Everyone thinks theirs is the best, isn't it?
So. Absolutely, absolutely. Anyway, my mum's the best anyway. Right, okay. So that's the weekend. I didn't go to Pittodrie, yes, you didn't go. You were a Falkirk TV job, weren't you?
I wasn't able to get up yesterday. We had my youngest and the dog. It was a dog sitting day almost. My eldest, she was at a cheer comp. They did very well. Shout out to Elite Evolution. They had two second place in her age group. They had two second place finishes. So go on, the girls.
I'm so happy my child did not get into cheerleading. I am delighted with that. The cost of cheerleading is ridiculous. The amount of money you've had to spend is mental. So I'm delighted. And don't want to put people off going into cheerleading or that, but
no, absolutely.
I'm very happy my child decided to go into acting and dancing instead, because it seems very expensive. Before we get into the game, let's go back to last week's show. A couple of corrections to be made. Thank you to everyone that pointed out that Ryan Williamson's goal was against Peterhead. I thought it was Montrose. Ross and James got in touch to let me know it was actually, in fact, Peterhead, where he scored his Cafu-esque goal. Yes, we're talking as well about Brogo from last week, and we played Musical Corner on Falkirk Daft. Mixed response. Ian says, after listening to the last podcast, I'm hooked on the Falkirk, the Roving Falkirk Bairn. A proper sea shanty folk song. Brilliant. Well done for John for putting it on the show. Thank you very much, Ian. George says, make it happen, John and Ross. I love that song. Balls to Monty says, thoughts with John after the draw. After we're having a breakdown about drawn to the Fermo. We'll talk about that in a minute. Fucking love Brogo. Should definitely get played pre-match. And Gordon comes in, and this is puts a dampener on it. Not for me. You can tell it's Celtic fans who wrote it. It's got that annoying Irish music you hear at Parkhead. Sorry, no. I wonder, yeah. Embrace culture, Gordon. Embrace culture. It's fine. Like, other music's fine from across the world. Just because it's got a bit of an Irish tinge to it. It doesn't mean it's a Celtic song. It mentions Grangemouth, for fuck's sake. Anyway.
I saw Brogo actually came. I don't know if it was Gordon that they had replied to, but they'd replied to someone who had said, "No, it's not for us." And it was a picture, I think, of their lead singer, maybe with like a balaclava on at one of the gigs. And Brogo did point out though that in the same picture, their guitarist had a Falkirk away top on from I think it was the last season at Brockville. So the Brogo boys are interacting there as well.
There you go, love that, love that. But anyway, yes, we'll keep. I think it's great, and I'm going to make. I'm actually thinking for Falkirk, next Falkirk Daft Live. You know how we do our big intro with a kind of goal montage and stuff. I'm going to do it with the Brogo in mind. So there we go, because I've got. I know how it's going to work in my head. So we'll have that for next Falkirk Daft Live. Tickets will be on sale soon, I promise you. Before we get into the episode, let's say thank you to Rumour Architecture, RMR Architecture. They are back on sponsoring the podcast. Ryan, top lad, and he's one of the best architects going. In fact, I would say of all the architects I know, Ryan is definitely the best.
Me too, me too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been working in the town for about 17 years now, and he's went into his own business for the last kind of five or so. Done. We've talked about his jobs, you know, Country Carrots building the houses for the old Polish club, which I always admired. When I drove past, I went, "They're really good looking houses, and I would like a house like that." And it was Ryan. I did not realise that it was that designed them. So there you go. He's one of only three chartered architects in the town, and of course, he is a Falkirk supporter. So you want to be going to him if you're a Falkirk supporter. And a bigger incentive is he is going to give you 10% off any project you're looking to get done, whether that's an extension, whether that's your business looking for new premises, whether you're a football club looking for a new stand. These going to give you 10% off, and all you've got to do is quote Falkirk Daft. Are you listening, Jamie Swinney? Go up and quote Falkirk Daft. Ryan will design your new stand, he'll design your extension, he'll design your new property, and you'll get 10% off the architectural fees. So there you go. Speak to Ryan, and the best way to do that is rmr.co.uk, rmr.co.uk, and it is Rumour Architecture sponsoring this week's episode of Falkirk Daft. There we go. Ross, more music chat before we get into the club news. You went and put up a poll about Amarillo.
I saw a couple of comments on social media, Pine Bovril as well. There was a lot of chat in there too around people think it's some people, I might add, thinking that maybe Amarillo's had its time. Should we be playing it after goals? Should we be playing it before the game at full time? So I thought, you know what, I'll ask a question, and it was pretty resounding in terms of the results. And I'm quite happy. I quite like the fact that Amarillo annoys an awful lot of away fans, to be honest. But it was quite pretty much overwhelming, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the stats here because we did the poll. So the poll options were keep it, it's our thing, lose it, we don't need it, or not fussed either way. And whopping 74% said keep it, it's our thing. So there you go. It's an overwhelming thumbs up for Amarillo. It was really funny, right, reading some of the comments about it. I mean, Amarillo, I think it was an awful. We still need to get to the bottom because my understanding was it was when they went back and they had goal celebration songs, it was Davey Moss's celebration songs, and it caught on from there. I don't believe somebody said you're
I think
talking
it's
shite,
further
John.
back than that. Yeah, I think it's further
Somebody
back
says
than that.
further back than that, but I honestly don't remember. Like when I first started going to the games, it wasn't getting played.
No, it's not always been a, to be fair, it wasn't always a goal music. The first time I heard it, this is going to age me, but I remember going to a Federation of Falkirk Supporters Clubs event at the Town Hall in the 90s, and it was Lieutenant Stardust who were playing, and they played it, and it was just it. I just remember it from there onwards. It was maybe even before that, but that's certainly the first time I heard it.
Yeah, I am. So there you go. Let's get to the history of Amarillo and how it's become a Falkirk song. But there you go. It's a big thumbs up for Amarillo in terms of keeping it. Again, I don't think it's the greatest songs, but it's good to belt out And you can get those sha-la-la-la-las on the go, which is always
It
pretty funny.
really annoys the away fans as well. Like they hate it. So
I'm a bigger fan of
if
Little
they
Respect. I'll be honest with you. I think Little Respect's a banger.
A little respect is very, very good until we get to the high note, and then it's just like
It's a
it's
bit
kind of
it is a bit
awkward.
awkward as a football supporter trying to hit those high notes when you're in the stand. But I'm here for it. But aye, let's get Andy Bell doing that before the cup final or after the cup final when we win it. That'd be amazing. Amarillo stays according to Falkirk Daft in our poll. You may think otherwise. Get in touch with the club, and if you want to do that. The club have actually got the survey, the annual surveys out. So if you want your moans about Amarillo, get that in the club survey. Maybe ask maybe what about Brogo, the Roving Falkirk Bay, and this project. But all your moans can be heard if you take the club survey, which is out and about now. So I think there's a wee bit of time left to fill that out. So get it done, and you can moan about Amarillo to your heart's content on there. I'll drop Jamie a tweet because we know he loves getting tweets about things like
Oh,
that.
yes.
Since we've not spoke, obviously you missed the preview show the other day there, Ross. Obviously ended up getting Dunfermline last week. We were recording the show prior draw pre-draw, and I was shiting it, and I still am shiting it. 5 weeks to go of constant just hassle between me and Stephen Mill. So yes, it's how you feeling about it? You wanted it, didn't you?
I wanted it, and I'm still here for it as well. I'm very confident, not in an arrogant way, but I think Aberdeen made Dunfermline look pretty good last weekend when I watched the game. I'm pretty confident in our boys on the big Hampden pitch. I think it'll be a fantastic game. I really do. I think there'll be goals. I'm not saying we're gonna squish it because I don't think it'll be a goal like that, but I think we will win in the end. I think there will be 25 to 30,000 in Hampden, which would be phenomenal as well. I just can't wait already. Obviously, there's a lot of chat online already about buses having like been booked up and sold out already. So I think it's going to be a huge, huge Falkirk crowd.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Obviously, still waiting for the tickets to go on sale for it. But it's going to be happening at 12:30 on Saturday, which is ideal because you didn't want the Sunday. We kind of thought it was going to be the Saturday, and they wouldn't put it on a later kickoff time, I guess, just because of the type of game it's going to be. I saw obviously John McGlynn after the problems at Ibrox last week talking about the kind of crowd trouble and hopes it will behave, and I'm pretty sure we will. I mean, I can't see a situation unless it's like where both sets of supporters are going to confront each other on the pitch. I mean, I think the Old Firm, as I've said, that's just a powder keg. Do you know what I mean? If Falkirk versus Dunfermline, it's just rivalry, and it can get naughty at times. We've all been on supporter. I've been on a supporter's bus that's been bricked before. We saw some of the eyeball stuff, the Nonny McCarthy stuff, which God Almighty, we're dead years on from that. Now let's put that in the bin. But like it will get heated. It will get there will be that tension between the supporters. But I don't think we have anything to worry about in terms of the scenes that we saw at Ibrox.
I would be shocked if inside the stadium I would be shocked if there was any trouble. However, I really hope the SFA and the police and the clubs have a sensible conversation about like the arrangements, because as you'll remember for 2009, John, like it was pretty crap how the fact that they put all the Dunfermline fans over in the north stand, we were in the south stand and the west stand, and it was just really weird atmosphere. Now, if they can handle an Old Firm game or Hibs Hearts at Hampden with splitting the north stand, they can do it with Falkirk and Dunfermline. So fingers crossed that that is how that goes.
All right, okay. I mean, we'll wait and see what happens. I mean, it was fine for. I mean, Inverness was different, obviously, because we're all getting the one bit. But obviously, Falkirk Dunfermline. We'll wait and see what they think in terms of policing. The thing is, though, after what's happened last Sunday, Ibrox, there'll be a lot of caution. Do you know what I mean? There'll be a caution. So I wouldn't be surprised if we end up in the same scenario as we did in 2009.
I hope not, but yeah, I can understand why they might be looking at that because, they probably will be trying to avoid any sort of situation while that the TV cameras can see anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see how that goes. I'm already dreading it. I've got the absolute fear, but I won't obviously come 2 o'clock or half two on that day. If we've pumped them, I'll be absolutely swinging from the rafters. But we'll wait and see. It's a long time to go and a lot of games to get played between now, but then now and then. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm already feeling the dread. Falkirk looking for a first team physio to join the team there as well. So if you are a physio, there's an opportunity. Imagine that, being a physio and then getting to go and work with the first team. That'd be amazing. Living the
I thought
dream.
you were going to say touch the players and stuff like that. I
Oh
thought that's what
yeah, I
you
forgot about that. I mean,
were.
Tom Lang's still, I'm presumably training with the first team as well, so there would be an opportunity there. Time to go out and get that physio degree, I think.
You can just imagine Tom going, John, I'm fit. No, you're not. So, oh, get on my table.
Oh, it's that the groin that's hurting against you.
Dearie me.
But yes, so there's a physio job going at the club just now. And congratulations to Leon McCann. He won Falkirk Daft Rated last week and he's won it like loads recently. And of course, he was the voted player of the month for February. And I think absolutely 100% the right decision.
Massively, yeah. What a time he's having of it just now, both personally and professionally. So delighted for him. I was actually talking to someone yesterday about him as well. What a journey he's been on, John. Like he, if you think back to the horrible League One season before John McGlynn came in, and Leon has been with the club since then. He saw the club at its lowest ebb, and he's now part of where we are at our highest so far. And I'm so chuffed for him. So chuffed.
Yeah, absolutely. So brilliant to see Leon and obviously be heard. I heard them actually, one of my friends, Laura, who I was talking to her, she presents Radio Scotland, the Good Morning Scotland on Radio Scotland, and she had Morgan on talking about the charity and stuff the other day there. So that was great to see as well. So great the charity's getting it's staying the spotlight as well, and hopefully.
Good.
Leon and Morgan can help other families as well that have been in the same position as them. So great to hear. Also got to mention we did I mentioned it in the preview podcast. Nicky Hogarth gets extension. Thoughts, Ross?
Love it. Yep, really chuffed for him and us. We've spoken previously about how essential it is that you have two, potentially even three competent goalkeepers, and boy, do we have two very, very competent goalkeepers. So really chuffed for that. Really chuffed Nicky's not going anywhere. He will be learning a lot from Scott Bain as well. Scott Bain, obviously, I think the squad is due to be announced for the upcoming friendlies for Scotland. Scott Bain,
Tomorrow.
tomorrow, yeah, you would assume Scott Bain's name's going to be in there. There's a little bit of a rumour
Tomorrow.
that Barney potentially could be involved rather than the under 21s. So, but even if he's not, yeah, and he's in the under 21s, you'll have Connor Allan in the under 21s as well, I assume. So, just really positive news all around the club just now.
Yeah, imagine we'll talk about Barney and his performance and potential Scotland cap in a bit. But yeah, lots of positivity and glad to see Nicky's getting an extension. Well deserved, absolutely 100%. Let's delve quickly into birthday. Connor, only one birthday to mention this week, and it's Xander Smith. He says, hi, well, Xander got in touch with us, says, hi guys, hope you're well. Could you please give a wee birthday shout out to my dad, Dougie, whose birthday is on Tuesday, the 17th of March, and that's from Xander and Reg as well. You don't get many Regs these days, do you? There you
No,
go.
you don't actually. No.
There you go. So
The craze kind of sorted that out, didn't it?
that is true. That is true. But
Because you
happy
hear
birthday.
Reggie and you think, Cray.
Yeah, 100%. But happy birthday to Doogie. Have a great day. Players' birthdays this week, talking about them just there. Leon McCann turns 26 on Monday, the 16th. So happy birthday, Leon. There go.
Yep.
What an amazing time that boy's having. So it's his birthday as well. There you go.
Phenomenal.
Darren Barr turns 41 on the 17th as well. Obviously, former last man to lead us out of Hampden. No, in fact, he wasn't, was it? He was the second last man to lead us out of Hampden. David McCracken would have been the last man to lead us out of Hampden. There you go. So Darren Barr turning 41. You're going there. Was David McCracken the captain the
No,
side?
I was thinking Inverness. It
I
was
was cap. It was Cracks that captained. It was Cracks.
no, Inverness was at the semi, and
Oh shit! Yeah.
A few years ago, that would
Damn
have
it.
been, who would that have been? Would that
That
have
would
been
have been
Paul?
Steve McGinn. Steve McGinn.
Steve McGinn. Of course it was.
Yep,
Of
there
course
you
it
go.
was, yeah.
So there we go. On the 18th, it's remember Tom Owen Evans, the toe.
That's it, yes.
The
Where
toe.
so, yeah. His hair was the best bit about him, and his hair was shite.
One of the fantastic Paul Hartley signings. Where is Tom Owen Evans? Let's have a quick Google. We'll find out what the career of Tom Owen. He's at Chippenham Town now. There we go. Seven
Very
goals in
nice.
40 games. So there we
Where
go.
does Chippenham Town play? Is that National League, is it?
Chippenham Town are currently in. They've got a 3,000 capacity. National League South.
There you go. Fair play to
So,
him.
yeah, but there we
Higher than I
go.
thought.
He only played two games for us. I thought he played more, but there you
Mm,
go. Just
yeah.
a time, what a time to be
Too
alive.
many.
Rory Loy, bit more positive. He is turned 38 on the 19th. Happy birthday, Rory. He's never off the radio. You always hear Rory. We should definitely get Rory for, I think he'd be a really good talker and have some really good stories, actually, for Falkirk Daft Live.
I
You
think
listen
he
to
would
him.
be brilliant to hear from. Yep,
Actually, where do
he
they'll
would
have a
be very, very
think?
good.
We'll have
Yep.
a think about that. I wonder if we got Rory Loy and Darren Barr as a kind of, one of the last, one of a kind of Hampden kind of final kind of. We'll have a think about that. But anyway, more names getting thrown into the Falkirk Daft Live hat. And on the 21st, out at Richie Cadet, stick one in the back of the net, turned 61. He was at the Falkirk Stadium this season. Absolute pleasure to meet the man as well. So happy birthday, Richie, on the 21st. And Fergie, former goalkeeper, Junine McCall era, turns 56. Bloody hell.
That's older than I would have put him, but no, he was a brilliant keeper for us. Brilliant.
Yeah, really small Fergie. I always remember, like, he's such a small goalkeeper, but he was a brilliant shot stopper as well. So, love Fergie and sticks. But happy birthday, Fergie. Turns 56 on the 21st. Let's talk about Aberdeen in a minute. But first, let's say thank you to Behind the Wall, our sponsors. Thank you to Brian and the whole team at Behind the Wall. It's the best pub in Falkirk, and of course you get the exclusive Falkirk Daft Venom there as well. They've got, on top of just the Falkirk Daft Venom, best selection of beers, wines, whiskies as well. Some great whiskies in there as well if you're a whiskey drinker like myself. And they've got loads of great entertainment coming up at Behind the Wall, such as, let me just delve into what's going on at Behind the Wall as we speak. They have got a few things going up, as well as obviously Falkirk Daft. They have ABBA tribute, which is going on in the 27th of March. Tickets still available for that. They've got a George Michael tribute in there on the 3rd of April. Dull Men Go Dating. I don't know what that is. I think it must be a play, but that's in there from the 12th to the 17th. So tickets available for that as well. And then further ahead of that, 24th of April, we've got Would You Think You're At? Which is a kind of TikTok, Instagram comedy thing. And then Stereophonics tribute, we are sold. There's a tribute to the Stereophonics now, and they're called the Phonics, and they're in there on the 25th of April. Ross will go to that one. What's your favourite
I
Stereophonics song, Ross? See, I've managed to get
either
you for one.
yeah either Traffic,
Oh, good shout.
what else do I like on that? It's definitely first album.
Right.
That's
Local Boy
my
in the
Local Boy
Photograph.
and Photograph is good.
Thousand Trees.
Thousand Trees is good.
Yeah.
Last of the Big Time Drinkers, that's probably my one of my
There you
go-to
go.
ones as well.
There we go. So there we go. Ross knows the Stereophonics. Doesn't know much music, but he knows the Stereophonics. There we are. So get yourself along to any of those gigs. Check them out, behindthewall.co.uk. Right, no guest pundit this week, so you just have to stick up with me and Ross's terrible chat. There's no getting away from it. And we're going to talk about Aberdeen at Pittodrie. And it was 1-1, a very, very scrappy game, but we got there in the end. No changes to the team from the advanced three games on a spin. We've not changed the team, actually, from Hibs. From Dundee United. Kilmarnock through Dundee United to Aberdeen. We've not changed the side as well. So the only changes you would see is that Gary Oliver made the bench. Good to see Gary Goals on the bench again. And Kyrell Wilson is injured again. We don't know what's going on
Yeah,
with Kyrell.
no, we don't. Hopefully, he's not going to be out too long though, because he is a danger man. We've listened, probably more me than you. I've been a little critical of his finishing, but like he is a nuisance, and he gets himself in some fantastic positions, creates a lot of stuff for us as well. So hopefully, he is back sooner rather than later. The John, maybe he was just not going to be potentially wrist on that pitch because it might have looked good from the side of the pitch and the TV and stuff. But I spoke to one of the players last night, and they said it was awful. Like, it was one of the worst pitches they played on all season. It was like the grass is pretty much dead. And
Yeah, I saw John saying that actually, that there
oh,
was
as he said it as well, right?
he said it
So
was like a dead pitch, and I don't know quite what that means, but it must be football talk because
but I think maybe he just wasn't wrist on it. So hopefully we'll see him at the Falkirk Stadium pitch next Saturday.
yeah, fingers crossed that Tyrell is back for that game. But as I say, scrappy. Just really, really scrappy. Obviously, Stephen Robinson's first game in charge. Aberdeen were hoping for that manager bounce, but it was a typical Stephen Robinson style performance from the side. And it was just scrappy, and it was balls in the air, and it was just the ball was just never out there, it seemed at points. We didn't get a chance to really play our game. Aberdeen didn't cause as much problems really at all. There was, I think, in that first half, there was the header that looked like it was just falling to Scott Bain anyway, but kind of Dylan Tate got in front to kind of clear it, and then obviously like that was the only really chance of note from Aberdeen, I would say. We had a very few chances as well. The only one that sticks out in that first half, Ross, was the shot from Brad Spencer, which deflected out for a corner.
Yeah, there wasn't much to talk about, John, as you said. Like, obviously, Dylan and Scott Bain clearing off the line, but otherwise they didn't really trouble us. Brad, from our angle, I thought, yo, this is going bottom corner. Obviously, it took a deflection out for a corner. Calvin had a half chance. Ben had a blast over the bar, but it was really scrappy. And as you say, I think. I don't want to put Aberdeen down because they're not a horrific football team, but in terms of a Robinson team, they played like I thought they were going to play. The ball spent a lot of time in the air. They were being tried to be physical with it, and we kind of played down to their level a little bit, I felt, and especially probably more so in the second half than the first half. But yeah.
It was. I mean, we didn't really get our game going. Maybe the pitch played into that. I don't know. If it's a dead pitch, who knows if the dead pitch had an effect on that. But we didn't really settle at all. I think there was a couple of. I don't think Calvin Miller had a great game. I don't think Calvin Miller was great. In fact, Ben Brosio. Now Ben Brosio, an interesting one. Again, such good feet, really good, so good with the ball at his feet as well. But I sometimes think it was decision making as well. I thought he had a decent game yesterday, but sometimes I'm like, release the ball, release the ball. There's the ball. But he's a young
Very
player.
confident. He's very
He's really,
confident in his
you know, he's
game.
very confident, very confident, and like you say, brilliant with the ball at his feet. And I'm pretty sure he's going to score a worldie. I'm pretty sure at some point he's going to take on about, I don't know, 8 or 9 men or something like that, and pop one in the bottom corner. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. But sometimes I do get frustrated that he holds on to the ball just a wee bit too longer, and sometimes decision making. But again, he's a young kid. You forget. I mean, Christ, he's what, 19?
Yep,
19,
he's
playing
very
his first team
raw,
football.
very young, very raw. I like the look of him. I know we both do. And I agree with you. I think at some point he's going to skin about five or six players and then slot one in the top bag. And I'll be there for it. But I think I thought he had a decent game yesterday. There weren't many brilliant. I'm not sad. I don't think anyone was brilliant yesterday. But I think there was four. Maybe three or four of the players who were definitely had a better game than others. And I thought Ben was one of them, to be fair.
Yeah, fair point, fair point. Finn, I thought again, Finn, I thought was a wee bit quiet yesterday as well. Obviously, you get all the industry with Finn as well, and I think he had a good shot at one point as well.
The
But
first half effort, yeah, he was a really unlucky because that took a deflection out for a corner. But again, that could have been nestling in the bottom corner as well.
but I do just think it played into the conditions and played into the way Aberdeen were going out just to set out and I guess not lose and get the any chance they could. So I mean, the first half was like scrappy, and the second half was pretty much the same as well. I mean, we had like say start of the half, I had Ben with that chance, which was parried away from meet off, could have fallen anywhere, fortunately didn't. Then you had Dylan Tate But again, there was nothing much in the game at all. I just thought this is destined to stay. This is bound to be a nil-nil. I did like in that second half. I thought if the change is going to happen, it will happen at half time. We'll kick on from that. But it just looked like it was going to be a nil-nil until we had probably the worst goal given away this season. Scott Bain again, probably he's not like you look back to Dundee United game. And you think maybe he could have done better with that goal. But then he had that obviously that one with Henderson as well against Dundee United as well. And then he's had a bit of a nightmare, against Aberdeen. The ball. Now, I don't think, right, and I've been having this argument on the group chat that I think a little bit of the blame should be apportioned to Brad Spence as well. Sorry, Brad. But he was dithering about with the ball in midfield, either holding off, looking for a foul, and he was just kind of dithering about with it. And there was a couple of passes on which he didn't go to. And then he pops it back to Henderson. Henderson puts it back to Bain, and then obviously Nisbet. And I have to say, hats off to Aberdeen because they're closing down, and there
No,
was,
they
like you
pressed
said,
as
good
well. They were
pressing.
pressing as well. I saw John McGlynn talk about it. I don't know if it was the BBC or someone else who he was talking to after the game. He's obviously quite rightly points out that Scott has like saved us a lot this season. However, I noticed his comment was quite an interesting one. He obviously said that he wasn't happy with us playing back to Scott too much on that pitch yesterday with how bobbly it was, with it not being a true surface. It's a tough one. I've watched it back now from a couple of different angles. Some of the social media fan cams have put it on as well. Brad obviously passes it back. I think he passes it back to Cartwright, but
No, it's
Cartwright
Henderson.
obviously,
It's Henderson. He passed it back to Henderson.
no, you're right, he does. So it's Hendo that touches it, but it's like he didn't put enough on the pass, and I wondered if he was like, because Cartwright's there as well, and I wonder if he's thinking, oh, Cartwright's going to take this, but he didn't. And then Henderson, obviously, Hendo's a long way out as well. He obviously then passes it back to Brad. In hindsight, listen, Scott launches that for as long as he can, but we don't play that way.
No,
And
no.
I know I probably got a smile on your face for the group chat last night, but I'll stick by it. If you want the rainbow, you need to put up with the
Oh,
rain.
fuck
And no, but
off.
listen, it's true. If we want to play
Fuck off.
football, if we want to play football the right way, then you're going to have goals lost like that because we're not just hoofballing it like Robinson
We
and
did play a
Martin
lot.
the other
We
day.
did play a lot more direct than we normally do. Scott Bain used the direct ball a lot more and looked for Barney as an out ball a lot more than he often does. I'd have to say that. But again, maybe the pitch was played into that as well. But yeah, Scott Bain will look back at it and obviously he'll be really, really disappointed at it. But he's been great for us all season
It
as
has.
well, so you can't really fault him. But at 1-0, what you think, oh, Aberdeen will maybe sort of see this out. I mean, he did deserve the 1-0. No team deserved really to be 1-0 up or
No.
winning because it was so scrappy. But made a few changes obviously as well in the kind of meantime as well. Brian Graham came on. We went 4-4-2. Love that. 4-4-2. Brian Graham and Barney Stewart up front. And obviously Ethan Ross as well came on and looked really, really lively. Probably a point to prove. Being a local lad, starting his career at Aberdeen, he did look like he was,
Beautiful ball in. Beautiful, beautiful ball.
oh, smashing ball in from him, and he did look lively even before that ball, and what a ball he put in for Barney Stewart. Great play on the left hand side between him and Leon, and then great ball in, and Barney just doing Barney things there and thereabouts at the back post, Malloy, who kind of did all right against him for most of the afternoon, just switched off for just a second. Barney's at the back
Gotcha.
post, back across the keeper and into the bottom corner. Great
Keeper
goal.
was rooted to the spot, could not, didn't move, couldn't move, and Barney just keeps on giving. There's not enough you can say about Barney. Like his overall play yesterday was superb, really. He ran the channels really well. He
Good
obviously
hold
got
up
a bit,
play, layoffs. He had a lot of good layoffs and stuff as well yesterday as well. And
He linked up well with Brian Graham when he came on as well, I thought.
Yeah, no, it was good to. I mean, 4-4-2, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Four four fucking two,
Into.
as they say.
I loved it. Loved it. But, so Barney got his goal and just doing Barney things. Just brilliant. Enjoy him while we. I said, I think last week, enjoy him while we can because I don't think he's long for this world. In Falkirk world, sorry, not in life.
Barney Stewart East Stand, are you saying?
But I'll be the Barney Stewart pitch. That'll be called because we'll sell the money and put the money to buy it relay in the pitch.
Do you think he'll go in the summer? I don't. I think we'll get another
I think
year
he
out of
will.
Burnley. I think
I
we'll
think
get another
if he keeps going the way he's going, he will go in the summer because there'll be clubs down south, there'll be clubs up here that will look at that. And number nine is the hardest position to fill. A
Show us the
strong
money,
number
though.
one.
Show us the money. That's all we'll
Yeah,
say.
we've got to say show us money, but no, listen. If it does turn out, he gets, because people have started going. It's a young Scottish striker. What about? I don't think he'll make the World Cup, but certainly friendlies. And if he does, who knows? If he does get that call up for the friendlies and shows up in
Yeah,
the friendlies.
he's. I agree. He's probably too far down the pecking order if everyone's fit. If everyone's
Boy
fit.
Hurst doing very well at Ipswich this season as well. He seems to be doing well, and then you've obviously got.
I would love Steve Clarke to give him a shot at these friendlies, though. I think
Why
he's.
not?
Yeah, why not? Like, what's he got to lose?
You could say the same for Calvin. You could say the same for Calvin Miller as well. You could say, why not?
Totally.
Just give him a shot in friendlies. We're
And
crying out for it.
we're short of wingers at
Yeah.
Scottish football level,
A vast
Scottish
creative wingers.
international.
We're so short of it. So we'll wait and see what happens. But yeah, enjoy him while we've got him. And he's got to go to the post-match BBC interview. Loved that. Your manager, I think it was Brian McGaughton, kind of thing, it said, your manager says you're a revelation. And he goes, I don't know what that means.
Is he not? His dad will be raging because he's at uni, for God's sake.
I was like, Barney got a degree from university. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know what that was. A revelation. I mean, loved it though. I love Barney. Absolutely love that boy. He's a big dafty. I think the best way to say it, a big galoot, a big dafty, but we absolutely love him. And it was just a nice touch at the end of the match for Cole to give him the armband to hand over.
Yes. Which then
To
produced an absolute belter series of pictures as we shared on social media today, because what looked like a dad with his young lad, but the dad had his hand rather than the young lad out, and he obviously you just see this like rogue hand in the background where he didn't get the armband, but the dad of another child did. It's just superb, absolutely superb.
Oh my God, I've just seen that. Someone stole the
Well, there's like a small child's hand, and then there's the dad's hand, and then he then gives it to his child who was beside him. So he's done it for the right reasons. However, it
I
does
don't
look
know if I'm having that. I don't know if I'm
a
having that. I don't
bit.
know. Barney's had a nightmare there. He's been given the pressure of having the armband and he's fucked it, is what's happened here. He's not giving it to the child he's meant to. The dad's grabbed the armband. Are we in a situation? Remember that? Do you see all these things where like someone catches the baseball and then giving a child, someone tries to grab the baseball and stuff. I'm sure there was someone got really bad heat from that. I'm not sure about that, Ross. I think it looks like, for me, it looks like Barney's looking away and he's just handed it like that way. Rather than done the traditional put the armband on, which obviously Cole and Brad do, Barney's just went like that. Oh my God, Barney, you fucked it.
Are you suggesting Barney could be the Fogart Dav rated and Dafty of the week
There's a
on
very
Monday?
good chance this. I'm just looking at the photographic evidence here. It does look like there's a young lad on his dad's shoulders, looks like he's about to get the armband, and a gentleman has reached over to get the armband. Please explain yourself, sir. Please explain yourself. It's usually a kid that gets it. Now, obviously, it's ended up in the right place because a kid has got it at the end, but I'm not sure about it, Ross. We're going to have to go to VAR on this one. Please, either Barney let us know what the crack is, or the gentleman who has the child let us know what the crack is, or the dad who's reached out and got the armband. We need to go to VAR on this. There's a tribunal cut ahead for this armband gathering. Brilliant. There you go. Bit worried at the end. Hendo looked like he was struggling. Probably looks like he should have come off the park if we hadn't made all our subs as well. Hopefully the big man is all right for next week because I thought he was Well, we've not mentioned Liam Henderson because I thought he was brilliant yesterday.
He was very good again, as
Absolutely
always.
outstanding.
Very, very good. As I say, he's certainly one of the three or four I've got in my head, who did well, I thought.
We'll get to the Falkirk Daft rated in a minute, but let's hear what you guys had to say after we hear from the gaffer, John McGuinn.
Stephen, a point on the road. What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was. There was loads of good things in the game from us. We tried to play our usual game, which was a challenge with the pitch. I thought we got into brilliant areas in the first half. And listen, it's been horrific weather here. We came here for the first round of fixtures, and the pitch was brilliant. No complaints with the weather they need to deal with, but it was a challenging pitch today, and we always needed to take that extra touch in the box. And another day, in the perfect scenario, you have a shot instead of maybe trying to pass the type of pitch it was. But loads of good things. Then we're really frustrated, obviously, to lose a goal. We asked the players to play with risk. And sometimes when you get caught out, you can get caught out badly. That's on us. We take that as a team. But a brilliant reaction. We asked them to be... After the Hearts game at Tynecastle, we didn't throw enough questions at the opposition when they tried to see out a win. I think we did today, and we got our rewards.
Yeah, there certainly wasn't a lot between the two teams, but the team showed great resilience to bounce back in the manner they did, getting that late equaliser. What does that show about the strength of the team mentally?
Yeah, big. I think the fact of coming up here and taking 4 points from six available against Aberdeen is good in anyone's books. I think that says a lot about the character, even more so than the late goal. I think the belief the boys came up here and thought they could go and win again. We tried everything we could to try and win again, and I think getting that late goal, you're happy with the point in the end.
Ethan Ross obviously coming off the bench and getting a really good cross in for the assist for the equaliser. Just a quick word on his impact today.
Yeah, I think he's even back when I played with him, he always wants to be the best. He always wants the best performance, which is a good thing, but also he's so quick, he's so direct, and he can get a half yard sometimes. That can be as effective as beating a guy and putting in the top corner, like it was today. He gets a half yard and puts a brilliant ball in for Barney, who again is in the perfect position, and the big man just scores goals.
We face St Mirren next week, back at the Falkirk Stadium, and a chance to secure top six for a win next week.
Yeah, well, that was the intention, was to come up here and win and secure it fully. Obviously, wait and see what results go, but we want to finish the season really strong. We've got a lot to play for, a lot of big games we're going to be playing in. And after today, I know AstroTurf gets a bit of stick, but really look forward to getting back out there and playing on it.
And finally, just a word for the 1,200 Falkirk fans making the journey today.
The unbelievable numbers, you know, came out. Even the subs behind me were talking about how impressive it is, the numbers we take everywhere, no matter where we play. And they were huge for us, and they stuck with us right to the end, and I'm glad we could send them home with a late goal.
Thanks, Stephen.
Not John McGuinn, it was Stephen McGinn that was doing the post-match there. Before we talk about Stephen's chat, bit of chat that he is one of the favourites for the St Mirren job. Interesting.
Yeah, St Mirren legend, isn't he? So
yeah.
It's understandable. Do I think they will go down that road? I'm not convinced. I can see them maybe going for... someone, I don't want to lose Steve McGinn, and I think at some point I would love Steve McGinn to be the Falkirk.
Well, that's what I think. I think that's what's happening. I generally think Stephen's been basically groomed to be the next Falkirk manager. So
yeah.
I wonder if he's like, because if there could be an offer, like Stephen's a St Mirren legend, you know, lifted the cup for the club, but like you go, does he need a bit more experience? I mean, that's him now being a full season as a first team coach. Just, you know, he obviously joined us tail end of last season, and you think, does he need that bit more experience? Does he want to stay somewhere when he's not in the firing line? You can just get that experience. I really truly hope he does. I mean, but if he does get offered, if St Mirren come and offer him the job, I mean, it's going to be hard to turn it down.
I think it would be a very hard one for him to turn down, because I'd imagine they will be able to give him a really good package, but also it's his team as well. So It'll be a tough one to if we do lose them. I really, if I was a betting man, I don't think they will. I think they'll go down a different route. I don't have a name in mind, but I just think that I think they'll go down probably more of someone who's maybe been had a bit more experience in the Premiership and managing as well.
It would be wild to think that St Mirren obviously come to the stadium next week and Stephen McGinn could be in the away dugout though. That's mental. And he knows
Yeah,
all our tricks.
he does. He does indeed. I saw there was a wild shout from a St Mirren fan on social media saying that they should approach Falkirk for John McGlynn and Paul Smith. I'm like, no, listen, come on, come on.
Brilliant. What a shout from that man. But yeah, it'll be interesting. But Stephen obviously speaking there post-match, kind of, again, was quite quick to point out the pitch as well, Ross.
He was. Yeah. No, listen, it's not ideal. Obviously, listen, we get it. Aberdeen have had some really bad weather, so it looked actually all right. But for those that were walking on it and playing on it, it was obviously quite very slippery. The grass was just giving way to muck, really. So, not ideal. But listen, as Stephen says, we're back at the Falkirk Stadium against St Mirren. A point probably does it. 3 points definitely does it. And I think there will be huge scenes at the stadium when sixth place is confirmed because it's a huge achievement. It really
Oh,
is massive
unbelievable.
achievement. And once we've got it, we then play a couple of games before the split. See how and both games are against teams that are going to be in the top six as well. So see where it takes us. You never know. You never
Yeah.
know.
I mean, I don't know. I was looking at the Dundee Derby today. I think I didn't realise that I hadn't even contemplated the fact that Dundee were still in the reckoning for.
They have to win, though. They have to
They have
win.
to win.
Yeah.
I think a draw in the Dundee Derby is the best result we could hope
Me
for.
too. I'd like a draw. I know that doesn't mathematically,
It
well,
pretty
it
much it's gold.
mathematically
It then goes
doesn't.
down to goal difference, doesn't it? It'll
Yeah,
go down
it
to goal difference.
mathematically humps Dundee.
Yeah.
However, Dundee United would be nine behind with nine to play for. However, you're right, it would come down to goal difference. And I don't wanna say they're not gonna win one of the games, but they do then play Rangers and Celtic back to back.
Yeah.
So I think it would be done after a draw today. But it would be done on our own merit next Saturday with a point or a win.
Yeah. So fingers crossed for that. Let's hear what you guys had to say about the match. Lulu kicks off, said we played better and lost. So today was a good point. What a player we have in Barney. Now on to the next game and definite top six finish.
Amazing. Ian says we didn't play well, but we did have the better of the chances. Had the character to come back from a rare howler. Good to see Ethan Ross get an assist and Barney with his finishing so well. A little worried about Hendo though. He looked in pain.
Yeah, hopefully he's fit again. I mean, the good thing is we do have options. We
We
could
do.
shuffle. I thought, by the way, Cole Donaldson. I saw people giving Cole Donaldson a chip online. I'm like, Cole Donaldson, I thought was great
Thought he did all
yesterday.
right. Thought he had
I
a
thought he did.
very good
There
game.
was one pass I think he misjudged, and that was it. And I thought Cole Donaldson and Henderson. I always think that just as a partnership, they're so solid together. So yeah, I mean, if Hendo was in there, it'd be a massive blow, but we do have options. You could shuffle Phillip into centre half alongside Colin, bring in Keelan Adams. You could bring
We've
Lewis
Conor
Neilson.
Allen there as well, so
Lewis Neilson's on the bench.
Lewis
Conor Allen's
Neilson's
on the
there.
bench. So I would think though, if Hendo was injured, that would be the obvious change to make, is shuffle Lisa into centre half, which is natural position anyway, and then bring Keelan Adams in at right back. But we'll wait and see what happens. Dave says, sums up everything good about Falkirk right now. Great attitude, cracking work ethic. And Barney, just an all-round good lad. He'll go far in the game and deserves all the plaudits.
He does indeed. Tam says, outstanding. Aberdeen away is never an easy game.
Yeah, Caskey Boy says, not our best performance of the season, but a good point at a tough place where we could have easily have had the new manager bounce. Hendo was excellent today. Scott Bain, please don't do that again. There we go. That should be the title for today's episode, actually. Scott Bain, please don't do that again. There we go. Brilliant. Listen, who are we going for rated?
I think I'm gonna go with Barney. I thought his overall play was really, really good, and he took his goal very well as well. But I do want to give notable shout outs for me anyway to Hendo. Big Call, I thought was good as well. And Ben Brosio, I thought was had a good game too.
It has to be Hendo for me. Has to be Hendo for me, I think. I thought he's absolutely, he's an absolute, as someone said, an absolute warrior, just limping into the end. But
Very
I
true.
think,
Listen, I'm happy to back that one. Happy to back that
what are
one.
you thinking? Well, we flip a coin for it.
If you've got one at hand, I don't think I do.
Oh
But
no,
if
I
you've
think
got
I
a
may
coin at
have a
hand.
coin. I think if I just cleared out the washing machine, did that annoying thing where someone's left coins in the washing machine, found them. Right, oh yeah, I've got a coin. I have got a coin. I've got 1 pence coin, which is really hard to flip. Right, heads Hendo, tails Barney. Tails Barney.
There we
There
go.
it
You
is.
left it
Heads it
up to
goes
fate.
go. Well done. We might redact that if Barney's fucked the armband handover. That might get redacted in next week's episode. We'll need to find out about it. But well done, Barney. Falkirk Daft rated. And the Dafty, it's going to Barney as well. For one, not knowing. We should really give it to Scott Bain for us, but we'll let Scott Bain
No,
back.
listen, I think there's enough justification between Joan and the pitch and stuff to, and as Stephen, I think Stephen makes a really good point there. Listen, we're a risk-taking team, and it's on them. I like the fact that they take the ownership of that because they're told not to hoof it up the park. So,
Okay, so we're giving it to Barney for fucking
a
up the arm,
tale
but
of two Barneys, a
Re
tale of
not
two
knowing, not
Barneys.
knowing what the word revelation is, and fucking up the armband handover, we think.
Let's
Well, this is
do.
still be confirmed, by the way. We'll need to get
Yeah, we'll go
on
with
in
our. Yeah.
before Thursday's episode. We need to find out what the story is behind the armband
Right.
handover. That's it. We're going to the appeals panel on this one, right? So there we go. Right. Okay. So Barney gets a Dafty, and also the Falkirk Daft rated player of the week. Well
Brilliant.
done, Barney. Superb. Brilliant. We've not got a guest pundit, so no Falkirk Daft versus you. You'll be delighted to hear it because your turn.
It was my turn.
I won
I'll
lasted.
face whoever's next up. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right, okay. But before we go, we say thanks very much to the Falkirk football fans at training. They're down at the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30, with their over 50s section, which has just been set up, as well as their elite academy and a legend section. Get yourself down here, help your mental health, get fit. By the way, I'm needing to start doing a bit more cardio. But I'm not over 50 yet, so and I think you have to have a certain criteria to
To get down.
determine. I don't know if I get that there yet, but criteria would be that definitely you need to be strictly over 40, tick. No ex-professional, tick. Or a registered amateur, tick. So I should get down, maybe have a run about with the guys. But if you want to do that, get in touch with Ian or Willie. The links are below to get in touch with them. Get yourself down, get your mental health sorted, and get fit in 2026. So I will see you down, or maybe see you down there as well. Get rid of this wee tire that I've got going around the belly. Too much Guinness, Ross. Too much
Easy
Guinness.
done. Easy done.
I know, I know. Right, so that's it then. Next time we speak to you, we'll be looking ahead to St Mirren on Thursday. We need to get a guest pundit round up for that. I know a couple of boys that are St Mirren supporters, so we'll get the chat from them. What are you up to for the rest of the week, Ross? Anything exciting?
Busy, just a busy work week again. If I'm being honest, John,
Yes.
it's a busy time. Busy times. What about you?
Busy in the old mortgage world, always busy. What have I
So.
got happening in the world of radio this week? Nothing massive. I've had a hell of a week between fires at Central, the fire at the Central Station, and the Ibrox pitch invasions. It's been an interesting week to be on Clyde One and working on that. So it's been good fun though. But yeah, hopefully a little less chaotic this week. But yeah, if you want to get Falkirk Daft merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, you'll get us there. You can watch as well as listen. We're on YouTube. Like and subscribe if you've not done that already. Or if you're out in the dog walk or in the car, you can get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, there's the Discord channel, the links for that if you want to get involved in the chat. A lot of positivity after the result yesterday, and everyone looking ahead towards the Dunfermline game in the Discord channel. So the link for that is below. Just download the app and get involved in the conversation there, along with, I think we've got hundreds in there now that share their Falkirk opinions. So get involved with the Discord chat. And until next time, we'll see you back on Thursday for the St Mirren preview, and we'll leave you with these words.
Expect unexpected.
We're Falkirk Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft, you can listen.
listen in the pub, or you can listen in the bath. For folk of Duff, for folk of Duff, for everyone who's kidding about being a folk of Bill, we're folk of Duff. We are folk of Duff.